Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Out of what's happening, how you doing today? How are you? Let's get into it. We got an interesting one today, I'd say that, as we set it up inside of the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Challenging times, you can say that again. And Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Okay, listen, I learned long ago, and thankfully I'm smart enough, because not everybody in this business is. Smart enough to know that you don't listen to me for politics. And quite frankly, I don't care to hear about yours. All right. But how in the world do I get on the air and do a 4-hour sports talk show today, without addressing what's going on in the country? And there's a big difference between humanity and politics. We will focus, at least at the outset, we're going to do, trust me, 3+ hours of sports. Don't worry. Got some good stuff for you. But the politics will be pushed aside and the humanity will be front and center. Good God Almighty, please tell me we're better than this as a country. Please tell me that we're better than this. I'm watching, as you were, you know, deep into the night, both networks. And it was like I'm watching something from Beirut. I mean, wow. Major American cities burning down. I mean, torched to the ground, reduced to ashes. I want to start by saying this. One thing I am, as a matter of fact, it's in my home office. I am so proud of the fact that my dad's a retired detective. So proud of that. But police officers, if one of your peers is breaking the law, you have to stop them. You have to. You have to intervene, and it doesn't matter what it takes to do it. You must end it. Nothing to debate there. That's a given. Citizens, us, do not use injustice as an opportunity to steal and deface and destroy people's lives. Again, I really hope we're a lot better than this. And I also know the cards we've been dealt, you know, since middle of March here, the pandemic, the unemployment, the rage. I get it. But you know what? And I was thinking about this today, and you know, I wrote a little something on Facebook, wrote one little thing on Twitter, just to let everybody, you know, my listeners know that I'm obviously dialed in, and of course I care. But I mean, is anybody else tired of, you know, these poems and these cute like motivational phrases on Facebook? You know, here's a novel idea. How about actually doing something? How about doing something? Instead of, let me write this, you know, let me peck away at the keyboard, tick, 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 write something, and then just walk out of the room and think things are getting better. Nothing's getting better. What the hell is getting better? I mean, You see them weave in the riots from the late 60s, right? And as a New Yorker, I was obviously young for this, but in the late 70s, New York was a mess. You know, looting, a disaster. Manhattan was, I mean, all the boroughs, a mess. And here we are in 2020, and we're back to this? I mean, this is where we are? I mean, you know, listen, I don't know how you were raised, all right? I really don't. I don't know how you, I know how I was raised. I don't know how you were raised. And, you know, I do believe that a lot of those inspirational quotes and poems, I do, of course I believe they're well-intentioned. That's not a knock at people. It's a knock on the hollow nature, the shallowness, and just how utterly little they do to change anything, all right? But, you know, if you weren't lucky enough to be raised by good people, you know, who view all people as equal, and to respect public and private property, to respect authority, and most importantly, to respect all aspects of humanity. You know what? If you weren't born into that home, that type of home, and it didn't have to be a mom or a dad, could have been an aunt, step-parent, older sibling, I get it. All sorts of dynamics, trust me. Understood. Respect them. But if you didn't have that, can you at least dig down deep somewhere into your soul to find something that's going to make the world better for our kids? I mean, I got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, right? And I'm watching the news last night, and I'm saying, America is a disgrace. And I can't believe that I just said those words. Again, I'm going to get to sports. Don't you worry about that. That I know how to do. Could do that in my sleep. But how the hell does somebody get on the air today and go right into sports? How do you do that? You know, I'm watching last night, my hometown, Brooklyn. Instead of watching the Nets a playoff game, we're watching chaos, anarchy, Armageddon. You know, and for all the great that social media does, and boy, it does good. It does good stuff. We all enjoyed the match last week, and it was great. Brady banging it out from a buck 50, splitting his pants. I mean, everybody laughing at him. Then he, you know, Charles Barkley is clowning. When you're getting clowned on the golf course by Charles Barkley, you are having a rough day. So what does Brady do? He dials into being Tom Brady. Bang. Holds it out. Shuts up Charles. Re-engages in the match. Peyton was terrific. Tiger was great. Mickelson was phenomenal. What did we do? We raised $20 million for COVID research and to help people who really, truly need. That's the great aspect of social media. But do you really think, again, these little poems are doing a damn thing? Or do you think they're doing anything? Because the people who are reading them are probably your friends. The people who think the same way as you. And in large part, in this country, hundreds of millions of good people. So it doesn't matter how many likes you get. Who cares how many times it's shared or it's liked or it's retweeted? It's going to people who believe in the same thing. Good. Good. My question is, how do we cut to the bad? How do we cut to that part of society? Because I'm lost, man. I don't have any answers. Let me tell you a little story, all right? And this is not about basketball, but it's around basketball. And, you know, this is one of the great things about sports. You know, competition, sure. Entertainment, yeah. But, you know, I don't care if you played in college, you played in the pros, you played, you know, JV, rugby in high school. If you ever stepped foot in a locker room, the best thing about the locker room is that the boundaries are ripped down. And that there's acceptance. Yeah, there's still a lack of familiarity with how people that are different, how they, you know, what they think and what they truly think. Yeah, you've got to navigate that. But that's being a human being. Of course there's differences. Of course there's maybe even an initial lack of trust. Come on, let's keep it real. All right? But the best thing about locker rooms, and this is why we need sports back, is that it gets us away from the bad. I mean, I used to think that sports was you know, a deviation. No, it's more than a deviation. Boy, it is important. Without sports, there is a hole in the soul of this country. I'm not saying it's the most important thing. Please don't take it as that. But I want to share this little story with you because I was born in the 70s. So when I well read on it, trust, and I lived in Detroit. So you talk about the riots in the late 60s. I worked there. So I made sure I learned about that. This was early 2000. I like to think I could dot the connect the dots of history as well as most. Not that I can't learn anything, but I like to think I'm informed. Right, so I'm playing basketball, and this will resonate, this story, with you. This is not about hitting a jump shot or winning a tournament, trust me. But my dad, the retired detective, all right, we had a pretty good team. Bunch of white kids. Bunch of white, Irish, Italian kids from Marine Park, Brooklyn. All right, Good Shepherd Parish, to be specific. And we'd go to Bay Ridge, and we'd play St. Pat's, and we'd go out to Rockaway and play St. Francis de Sales. They were good. Our Lady of Grace in Gravesend. We'd play, and then we started playing some teams that were all black. Stephon Marbury's team. I didn't actually play Steph, but his parish. Most Precious Blood. You know, Little Flower in Flatbush. Holy Innocence. These are tough neighborhoods, and they were good teams, right? And again, pretty good team. Fifth grade, we go in to play Little Flower, get our brains beat. We could barely advance the ball past half court, pressing us, trapping us. And for me, I mean, as the slowest guy on the court, utterly useless. Like, if I don't have an open jump shot, I'm a waste of time on the court. Now, if I'm open, I'm gonna smash it. But if I can't move, I'm done. And you know what? My dad recognizes this. So to make this story quicker, because it's actually really, it's really good told over drinks, because I could really lengthen it, but I can't do it for the show. Like, I got to get to the rest of the show. You'll see the point at the end of this. He says, you know what? We're not good enough to go to these tournaments I want to go into. There was another league called Schweitzer. So we're playing CYO, and there's another league called Schweitzer, which was just infinitely better, you know? And my dad becomes pretty tight with the coach, a Little Flower, who's black. The entire team, black, right? We didn't go into that gym thinking, you know, who are these guys? Like, I don't trust these. I don't like these guys. I'm scared of these guys. We're playing basketball. Now, granted, you know, again, when they pinch me in the corner on the trap, I'm like, oh, damn, geez, Dad, substitute me, man. I can't help you today, Pop. I can't help anybody. So he goes, and we start practicing. And we start doing scrimmages on Saturdays, and we go to their gym because my grammar school didn't have one. All right? We go to Little Flower Gym, and we start bowling. We get a little better. Guys that I'm playing with, guys, a couple of guys went on to play college, D2. They start growing a little bit. They start getting better. But my dad wants to play in this other league. And he says, you know what? To do well in this league, I got to take a few kids from Little Flower. So he takes five kids from Little Flower, and he takes five kids, the five best kids, from Good Shepherd. I was probably the fourth or fifth best kid on that team. Guess who lost his starting job? His son. Me. Me. And you know what? I didn't complain about it. I didn't say, Dad, what are you doing? Dad, where's the privilege? Dad, where's the entitlement? I worked harder. And you know what? We kicked the crap out of teams. So to grow up in the 80s, and I trust me, I know there was tension in the 80s, clearly. I took the subway to Manhattan every day to Xavier High School. It was tough, man. Going through tough neighborhoods, got jumped by kids. It was not easy, man. I'm not saying the 80s was a picnic. The 80s, well, actually, high school was the 90s. But the 90s and the 80s were a disaster on a lot of levels as well, like now. But you're listening to somebody who didn't grow up with this bias, who didn't grow up with this notion that another race is inferior. I watched this, and I watched this in absolute, unmitigated horror. What is going on in this world? What is going on in this world? So there is, and I don't care who likes how I'm starting the show today. If you don't like it, that's too bad. Tough. There is no way that I'm getting on this air today and starting a segment and just jumping out and throwing out a phone number, taking phone calls about Fantasyland when the Yankees and the Mets and the Cardinals and the Giants are coming back to play. Because, by the way, they might not be coming back. And I'll get to that as well. Mark Cuban's going to join me. I'll get to Baker Mayfield. We're doing a show. But if there's ever a time to be real, it is today. And I have taken great pride in trusting my radio instincts. Listen, there's a lot of people on the radio. There's a lot of people on TV who make a lot more money than I do, who are better than me. But I don't think there's too many people who are on the radio and on TV who care as much about doing this the right way as I do. And the only way you do this right today is to have a conversation. I want to hear what you're thinking. I want to hear if you're raging. I want to hear if you're afraid. I want to hear it all. 855-212-4227. Again, and this is paramount. You have to know this, all right? We're going to get a break. We'll come back. I'll set up the actual topics. We'll get the calls. There's a big difference between humanity and politics. And again, I am smart enough to know you don't listen to me for politics, and I don't care to hear about yours. I don't care, nor should you. This is not about, well, the Democratic governor didn't act quick. No, I'm not having that. I'm not getting into that today. Call a political show for that. It's not what I do. Today's about connecting as much as we can. Trust me, I'm under no illusion that we solve this thing today. Not even close. But I'm going to try, and I'm going to try to do it with you. And one thing I know about my audience, the people who really know me, you people have heart. You people have heart. 855-212-4227. All right? So we'll get a break. We'll come back. I'll set up the topics. I'm here really all day until 6 Eastern. It's an honor to be here today. Listen, do I want to sit in my house when I usually don't do a Saturday show for 4 hours when it's 80 degrees out and sunny, when I could be in the backyard with the kids getting wet, playing 9 holes of golf? No. But you know what? Today, I do. Today, I really want to be here today. I'm thrilled I'm on the air. So we'll get the calls. We'll set it up. Usually, Teak is with me. Teak and I will obviously hit this together on Monday on CBS Sports Radio, on CBS Sports Network, 1-855-212-4227. So we'll get some calls coming up next. CBS Sports Radio, WFAN as well. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here is 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. So, Brandon Tierney solo today. Me and Teak back tomorrow. Monday. As we do our thing weekdays, 3 to 6 Eastern, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, simulcastradio.com. Really appreciate you hanging in today. I'm really looking forward to the calls. I'm looking forward to, I do have some great sports topics for you. I think one thing that happened is middle of the week, and it I don't want to say it blended in, but I thought it was far more potent than, from a sporting sense, than it was really given credit for or attacked. I don't think it was hit properly necessarily. Baker Mayfield had a pretty interesting exchange on a conference call with reporters. I want to get into that. We've got Mark Cuban coming up on the show. The NBA plan and what that entails, the asterisk for a champion. I know many of you are leaning that way. I'm not. I'll tell you why a little bit later. And baseball's got all sorts of issues. Baseball, oh, God, I need baseball. I just need it. You need it as well. And baseball's got some problems because right now baseball is being overrun by gluttony, which is never good. Let's get to the call, see what you're thinking about anything. 855-212-4227. Let's start. Sully is in New York, and Sully is first up here on CBS Sports Radio. What up, Sully? How you doing today?
Hey, BT. How are you, pal?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
That start you had, I'm on hold, and I'm saying, I got a story I want to tell BT, but I don't know if he'd be interested. And you're almost telling the same story I'm gonna relate to you here.
Let's
and
hear
it
buddy.
Just really has to do with how sports can be a major bridge. I was born in the 50s, mm-hmm. and, you know, I've been talking to you for years.
Oh, yeah. And, back in the day. Sure, I got you.
And 68, I'm in Brooklyn Tech, which mm-hmm. is, at the time, the highest academically rated public high school in the country. And it's an all-boys school.
Well, wait, it was better than Stuyvesant?
Yeah, out of the five in New York, it was the highest rated.
Wow.
It was the
okay.
highest rated in the country.
Sully's
yeah,
a smart
the head
guy.
Of aviation, all of them.
Gotcha.
So anyhow, it was a technical school. Most of the students, not myself, you know, MIT-type kids. It was all engineering and stuff.
Wow, gotcha.
Anyhow.
Yep.
Anyhow, so freshman year, you get double gym periods twice a week. Me and two guys, both, you know, black guys from Brooklyn, we own the half court. If you lose, you're going to sit for, you know, half the gym period.
It's the way it goes.
We owned it for that whole freshman year. Uh-huh. It was great. And we were all about the same, 5'11". And we played well together.
Yeah.
Second year, we come back, and it's 1968. And one of the guys changes his name, takes an African name.
Yep.
And he's wearing a dashiki and a kufi, which is the African shirt, and the mm-hmm. kufi is the hat.
I got you.
And you know how guys are from Brooklyn, and you know, on a court, you can get away with a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. Like, what the heck are you wearing? No, you can't go disrespect. I'm not disrespecting. What the heck are you wearing? Mm-hmm. You don't even have a bill on that hat. You know, just teasing him. He laughs. He says, you can't do that. And he was a serious guy. He was the president of the African American Relations Board in high school and what have you as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. But when we got to the court, we played, and the three of us never split up. The two of them made the varsity team. They told me, try out. I said, nah, I'm not going to be a 12th man. You know, if anybody, I'll sit out. Maybe
Judy, well, you didn't pick it up
out.
The towel, Sully. You didn't want to pick up the towels, buddy.
No. I knew my limitations.
I got you.
On a 3-on-3, I could play, but you know, on team, if I made it, I made it as number 12.
I hear you.
So later in the year, we're playing the hoops, and after the fourth period, he comes over to me, the one fellow that, you know, had become very political. And we're only 16, but he was a super intelligent guy and very political, very aware. Mm-hmm. And he goes, when's your lunch period? I said, next. He's go to the library. And for a smart, you know, smart-ass 15, 16-year-old kid, you know, everything was a joke. I looked at him, and I didn't ask another question. And usually stuff, yeah, screw it, I'm going to mm-hmm. lunch. I went to the library, which would be the last place you'd find me. And fire bombs, you know, Molotov cocktails were thrown in the cafeteria. We had the police in the lunchroom for weeks on end.
Wow.
Because of the unrest around the country. Mm-hmm. So
he told you to get out.
It went to hell. He tipped me off. Why? Because of basketball. Because we were friends.
Wow.
There was no color barrier,
yep.
And I never disrespected his beliefs, but I tease him about it, and mm-hmm. yet he still found it in his heart to tell me, go to the library. And that's what sports does.
Sully, you know, and by the way, Sully, I got a ton of calls. I got to move on, but I'm so happy I took your call first. Thanks a lot, brother. It's a great story, man. I get it. I think it's awesome. Good job, man. Really, really good story to share. I like that. 855-212-4227. Mike is in Atlanta. And Mike is on CBS Sports Radio. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to just make a couple of points.
No, I got you, Mike.
You know, you wrong, man. I'm going to try to calm down. You wrong, man. You can't call the United States a disgrace, man. That's bad business on your part, man. Right? And you and your other caller, your New Yorkers, mm-hmm. you know, you had human experiences with people who weren't of your culture, of your race, and they were positive. And that's how it's supposed to be. That's what it is. That's not a surprise that somebody would tip you off if they knew you as a friend. Okay, so that's not surprising. Don't make it seem like these relationships that you've had are somehow wonderful because they're just real. That's just how it's supposed to be.
I don't disagree with that, Mike. I don't disagree with that at all. I totally agree.
Hey, now let me just say about you. You have to be realistic that there are people that are sitting on a powder keg, like you said, man. Yep. There's no jobs. There's a virus out here. There's no sports. And now you take someone and you videotape someone getting murdered. Don't you think someone would be driven to a rage that could beset violence? I certainly don't approve of it. I don't condone it. Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to see how people can be pushed to a level of rage. And the word of the day is the vitriol. Okay? That's what you're facing now. because of everything that's going on. Now, you're talking about sports. Sports is important, man. But now that sports is gone, yeah, like you said, may not come back, we have to face these problems head on. We can't hide behind a game six or Mets versus the Rock, the Mets versus the Cardinals.
Yeah, or LeBron, or the Warriors, or Patty Mahomes. Right, yeah. I agree. I got you, Mike.
Forget all that, man.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about this. You got a great forum and utilize it to teach and educate that, yes, there are people who are less fortunate that did not grow up from my background or had these positive experiences. They've had bad experiences.
That's true.
And now their life is on the line.
So that's
true. You have to be sensitive. That's the word you want to use, sensitive to the approach that people are taking, and pray for the country, because we are in it. But we're not a bad, you know, we're not, you know, with the word that you use, man, that was
wrong.
But
now here, Mike, Mike, here's the thing. Mike, great call. Thank you. I appreciate you making that, man. When I say, you know, you can be great and you could go through a period that can be deemed, you know, sub great. So to characterize what's going on as disgraceful is accurate, because it is. It doesn't take away from the inherent good within whatever overwhelming percentage of society, of course. Thanks for the call there, Mike. How about Mike? Mike in New Jersey. Mike is on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mike?
Hey, BG, how are you?
Thanks. What's up, man? How are you today, Mike?
The issue. I'm doing great on this beautiful day. And
good to hear.
Thanks for the topic. A little bit of my background. I come from the neighboring state of Ohio, even though I've been in the New Jersey and New York area in transportation. I appreciate your father's sacrifice. My father was in the National Guard in most riots in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to come together, as the Beatles say. We have to talk to one another. That lowers the barriers. But you cannot take this violence to the streets. That's your store in your neighborhood. You have to respect other people's property and let the courts and the lawyers and the judicial system do what we do. That what makes America great. That's where we gained the things that we have in this country.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mike, you know, let me ask you a question. What's really alarming?
Mm-hmm.
And alarming is far too weak of a word. More like terrifying and incredibly discouraging. You know, I feel like we've hit these pivot points before. And, you know, it just, you feel like there's progress. People are talking. People are listening. People are, in a healthy manner, exchanging ideas. And, you know, there's just cohesion. There's, you know, and then all of a sudden, boom. It just feels like it's reverting right back to 5 decades ago and before that.
Well, your previous caller sounded the call that there's a lot of tension out here.
No, there is.
We're going through something that we haven't. I'm 68 years old, Brandon. I still can get pulled over by walking or driving. Look what happened in Central Park.
Yeah. Oh, that was absolutely horrendous.
It's still out
Come
there.
On.
We have a divided country. Right,
I know.
Now. Very divided.
I agree.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better, brother. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But we got to come together and keep some cool heads. We are like Britain during World War II. We have to overcome this. But we have to come together as a country. And people, you lived through the Detroit riots, Newark, Plainfield. You don't prove the point. You don't. That's your stores. That's your neighborhood. You got to pull back and respect the officers. If we don't have law, what do they say in law and order? Law and order, you got chaos if you don't have law and order.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure. No, yeah. No, that's well known. Mike, I appreciate the call. Thank you, buddy. Hey, I get it. 855-212-4227. Let's get Jen, who is in Brooklyn, and Jen is on CBS Sports Radio. Jen, how you doing today?
Hi, I've been waiting for a while. I just want to ask you, do you know someone named Gerard Papa from Gravesend?
Gerard Papa?
He ran the Flames, and he still does.
I know the Flames. I don't know Gerard Papa. I played more baseball at, well.
Well, he's the one who's the.
Gerard Papa, hold on.
He's the one who's the owner and the. He created it. He started it.
Gerard, he's still running the Flames?
Yes, he is still running the Flames.
God bless him, Jen. Yes. That's great.
And he, you know, was in Most Precious Blood.
Uh-huh.
And he had the Neighborhood Children, which was the surrounding project. And not the Stephon Marbury group, but anybody who wanted to come, if they wanted to play, they were welcome. And Most Precious Blood booted him out. And he ended up being at John Dewey High School.
John Dewey High School.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. You're in Brooklyn now. So
yes,
how
I'm
far
in Grayson.
You're still, okay, so you were, I don't know, 15 miles, although depending on the traffic, it'd take 2 hours. You're probably about 15 miles from Barclays Center, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm, downtown. I mean,
right? What's going on in Gravesend right now? I mean, it probably feels pretty normal, I would think.
Well,
but
then, to me, Gravesend has changed because, for whatever reason, I don't know why, a lot of Italian people moved out, a lot of Chinese people moved in,
mm-hmm.
and now when the COVID-19 started, a lot of Chinese people closed up.
Oh.
So Avenue U is just nothing.
I grew up on Avenue U. I used to go there every day with my mom and my sister, taking the B3 bus.
I mean, you don't have to go downtown to shop. Everything was there. Telco, everything you wanted.
Go to King's Plaza, maybe get a little ice cream if you
Look
behave.
At a movie.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's where I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark at King's Plaza, at E.T.
Yeah. And the thing is, not to hold you too long, but I work with Gerard Papa because when I first moved over to this area,
mm-hmm.
my son got beat up for his basketball.
Wow.
And it was like a movie, you know, Boys in the Hood, except it was for basketball.
Jeez.
And I didn't know what to do because I'm a single parent.
Yeah.
And I saw these children walking around with these shirts that said Flames.
Flames,
and I'm like,
yeah.
What's this? Everybody's going, running around. And then I found out. And so I got involved as a parent volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I heard his story about how he was with some coaches who's black, and he got beat up by the cops because he was with black people in this area when it first started. I mean, it was horrible.
Right.
And I came in on the end of it, you know, when it wasn't violent, like they're going to beat you up, but it was more like steer you in another direction. That's why he got kicked out of Most Precious Blood, because the families didn't want the black kids playing in the gym.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Jen. Well, listen. You sound like a sweetheart. I could talk to you all day. Appreciate you making the call, Jen. Thank you.
Okay.
You got it. Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll exchange ideas and stories all day. But coming up next, I do want to get into Baker. I want to start setting that up. If you're on hold, don't have to drop. We'll get you in, I promise. But we'll start weaving in the sports topics I have set up. We got Mark Cuban coming on today. The NBA plan, the asterisk for a champion. Do you subscribe to that? Baseball, where gluttony seemingly is once again winning out. And as much as I love my man Tiki, Tiki is wrong. His take on Baker is wrong. I'll tell you why coming up. More solo. All right. Hopefully everybody's having a good Saturday. Piecing it together. Hanging in, hanging on. Brandon Tierney with you here on CBS Sports Radio and locally here on The Fan, 855-212-4227, 1-855-212-4CBS Twitter. Just get me at Brandon Tierney, BrandonTierney. I might even hit you back, so literally want to get your thoughts. We'll get more of these calls in a minute. All right, let me set this up for you. So, Baker Mayfield, you think this is a big year for Baker? I mean, I know obviously he's a Jet fan. I zero in on Darnold, and Jet fans do the same. And, you know, obviously at this time next year, Giant fans will be doing the same for Daniel Jones and a lot of spotlight on Kyler Murray as he gets ready for year two. Baker Mayfield, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. He's got a good team around him, you know, unlike Darnold, who has a bad team, or at least a team that's not quite as bad as they were a year ago, but still not overly talented. And, you know, I mean, Kyler Murray just got DeAndre Hopkins. Daniel Jones, has weapons everywhere. Josh Allen's been to the playoffs already. You know, forget about poor Josh Rosen. Who knows what his football fate is. But Baker, the first overall pick, right? And Baker, if there's one thing about Baker over the years, well, he's been a little, and I like Baker, I should preface it. I'm a Baker Mayfield fan. Little petulant, though, a little bit. You know, some of the shenanigans in college, doinking the, I forget who they were playing, but remember he threw the football off one of the kids' helmets. Not the biggest deal, but probably not how you want the first overall pick to comport himself, or even a quarterback in general. You know, grabbing his junk on the sideline. I mean, I kind of like this guy's fire. Like, that didn't even really turn me off totally, but you know, there's just too many flare-ups. You know, then he started chiming in that GQ piece. Now he's a pro. you know, basically, why did the Giants draft Daniel Jones? What are Giant fans doing with how they treat Odell Beckham Jr.? Yeah, he's had public spats with Rex Ryan and Richard Sherman and on and on and on. He's got rabbit ears. He's definitely has some rabbit ears, and he's reactive. But it's also that edge that made him the first overall pick, because he doesn't look like Cam Newton. That's for damn sure. Doesn't look like Patty. Doesn't throw it like Mahomes. You know, he's barely 6 feet. He's got a good arm. Not a great arm. Good arm. And not that fast, despite the fact that he thinks he is. He's closer to a 5 flat 40 than he is a 4.5. He's about 4.8 change. Look it up. So he's not going to outrun defensive ends. And, you know, it's a big year for Baker. So what would the approach be? You know, would we get more of those commercials? Think about that. You watch football on Sundays, every other commercial, there's Baker, you know, with his wife living in the stadium. Well, here's his new approach. Check out what Baker said this week. Go ahead.
I have a different approach to this year. You know, I think it's everybody that has been interviewed in our team has kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head over and over about, you know, it's just time to work. It's time to do our thing instead of talking about it. So this is the first media thing I've done just because there's no need to be talking about it. It's just time to go do it.
Okay, so very mature, you know, very matter of fact and very believable. Doesn't sound like he's, you know, just saying it because he thinks it's going to sound good. So now I was off on Thursday and Tiki was riding solo. And then Friday I was off and Tiki got a chance to recharge the batteries. Like everybody in the business, we've been grinding. No days off since the pandemic. Not complaining, but didn't mind taking a day. And obviously Tiki earned it as well. So when I was out, this was the day after Baker said that. And then here's what my partner said, Tiki Barber. And by the way, I totally disagree. And I'll tell you why in a second. But here's what Tiki said about Baker's newfound attitude.
Baker Mayfield made himself by having the chip on his shoulder. He made himself by creating adversity with an opponent. Right? He made his way from undersized, unappreciated, transferred to a new school, to number one overall pick by being edgy, by having a moxie, by having an attitude, by being pissed off at the world for no reason at all. And now he's going to calm himself down and do it the old school way? I'm not sure that's going to work for you, Baker Mayfield. If you're Patty Mahomes and you can play the way that you play, you can be calm. If you're Tom Brady and you don't have elite athletic skill and you need to be cerebral, you can be cerebral. But when you're Baker Mayfield, I almost feel like you need to be Baker Mayfield. I hear you, Baker Mayfield. I'm listening to what you're saying about being different this season. But Baker Mayfield, I think you need to be Baker Mayfield in order to be great. It's what made you great when you were in high school. It's what made you great when you were in college. Hell, it made you great when you were a rookie in the National Football League with the Cleveland Browns. I'm not sure all of a sudden flipping the switch and going a different way is going to be good for you.
All right, I got a question for you. By the way, Tiki laid that out. As much as I disagree, and I'll tell you why in a minute, Tiki lays that out well. Pretty compelling presentation. All right, here's the question for you. Name one successful quarterback. And we'll say from, I mean, forget about the 50s, 60s, I don't know. But from like 1980-something forward, we'll keep it relatively modern. One successful quarterback with palpable, sustainable edge. Name one guy. Well, I'll give you one. The problem was it wasn't sustainable. It was palpable, but it wasn't sustainable. I'll give you Jim McMahon from the Bears of the mid-80s. Of course, the 85 Bears won the championship. Giants win it the next year. That Bears team squashed the Pats in the Super Bowl. The 4-6 defense, a ton of Hall of Famers. But let's also call for what it was. Listen, Jim McMahon was fun, and he was zany, and he had the shades, and he had the cool haircut and the lines in the head. Remember the lines in the head in the 80s? I had that, actually. I got to admit. The, you know, the headbands with Roselle and whatever else he would write on there. But, I mean, who couldn't have quarterbacked that team to double-digit wins and a Super Bowl? I mean, if Phil Simms, who was so much better than Jim McMahon, if Phil Simms is quarterback in that team, they get multiple championships. And I'll just keep it in the NFC. If Randall Cunningham is quarterback in that team, multiple championships. So Jim McMahon is one of those, you know, shooting comets. And it was fun, again. And I loved the way he played. His style was, it was interesting, man. He was tough. He was old school. He was edgy. But that's not going to hold up, man, especially in the year 2020. You need your quarterback to be buttoned up and polished. You want to have a wide receiver who pops off? That's fine. Who cares? You know, they're all divas anyway, at least a good part of them. You know, you want your overly verbal, demonstrative corner. You know, that's fine. You kind of want that. Oh, Jalen Ramsey? Come on, try to catch eight balls on me for 100. It's not happening. I'm going to shut you down. You want that arrogance, that edge. You want it to emit freely. You don't want that from a quarterback. Let me ask you another question. Why is it that we encourage young, introverted quarterbacks to take on more of a prominent role of leadership? Think about this. And again, I just ripped through some of the names, whether it's Darnold, whether it's Daniel Jones, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it's Kyler Murray this year, whether it's, you name them. I mean, whomever. Eventually, when Herbert gets on the field, and of course, Tua. Why is it that we encourage young, introverted quarterbacks, or maybe not introverted, but quarterbacks who are reticent to take on a leadership role in a locker room full of grown men, all right, who have been around the game for a while, to take on more of a voice? We do that, but why not the converse? Why would we not encourage a brash, bold quarterback to become a little more consistent and steady in his messaging? Well, we should. So I actually think this is awesome what Baker Mayfield is doing. I'm buying it. I'm a Baker fan. I'm a Baker believer. I'm a believer in the Browns this year. Now, the true test will be, all right, well, what happens if the edges get a little frayed and they start 1-2 and, you know, the offense isn't flowing and this guy's chirping, you know, be either Odell or Landry. Somebody's chirping, not getting the football enough. What happens there? You know, how does he flex leadership? What happens the opposite? What if they're 4-0 or 5-1 and they're putting up 30 points a game? Does he start getting full of himself? And does he change that messaging and maybe revert back to the old Baker? Listen, if I'm a Browns fan and I'm hearing this, I think this is phenomenal. Remain married to what you do well, right? And then just try to tweak what you're a little weak at. It's called self-awareness. 855-212-4227. Brandon Tierney solo today. Got three more hours. Everything on the table. I'm going to get some calls coming up next. Sit tight. CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.